Dear friends, how are you today? I'm Mark Golub. I hope you're all continuing to do well. Thank you to all of you who've sent me such lovely emails and letters this week. You truly touch my heart. And a special thank you to Rachel Lefkowitz, who's 94 years old and sharp as a tack. I'm a big fan of JBS. Rachel is a Holocaust survivor who now has 14 great-grandchildren and is soon to have a 15th. And Rachel, it is an honor to know you, and thank you for all you do for JBS. And there's another ray of light in the fight against coronavirus. It's a low-dose steroid treatment called dexamethasone, and it's being hailed as the first major breakthrough. Dexamethasone has been used in Great Britain in the world's largest trial, and it's found to have cut the mortality rate from the virus for those on ventilators by a third. And dexamethasone seems to help even high-risk patients. So it's really good and encouraging news. Well, the date June 19th might not mean much to many of you, but it actually is a holiday on the calendar, which this year has a special relevance that's bringing it to the attention of the American people. The holiday is called Juneteenth, and it commemorates one of the most important moments in the history of the United States of America. For on June 19th in the year 1865, the state of Texas finally ended its institution of slavery more than 2.5 years after President Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation of 1863, and more than a year after Congress passed the 13th Amendment, which states, "Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction." My friends, today throughout America, our nation is confronting the extent to which racism with respect to African Americans is still a social reality. It's clear that America has tried to address the scourge of social racism. Despite the proclamations and amendments and a bevy of laws and truckloads of monies poured into various social programs, it is still better to be white in America than black. And what we're experiencing throughout our country today is a call to finally address the burdens and yes, the injustices people of color must contend with, the fear they feel. And it's about how people feel, not about statistics, but the feelings of fear and hurt people experience in America of the 21st century. You may have heard me be critical of the violence that forced cities to impose curfews in the United States of America. You may have heard me be critical of the anti-Semitism and anti-Israel statements that exist within the Black Lives Matter movement. And you may have heard me argue that it's not about systemic racism in the United States, But none of my critiques mean to suggest that there is racial inequities in America. And even if any one of us, if we've never done or said anything to demean or to hurt another human being because of their race or any other human characteristic, the truth is there is a social caste system in the United States. Social racism does exist. And the Emancipation Proclamation may be systemically real. The 13th Amendment may be systemically real. The Civil Rights Act of 1964 and Title VII, prohibiting discrimination by employers on the basis of race, color, religion, sex, or national origin, may be systemically real. But it's still better to be white in America than black, than a person of color. And so this year, the holiday of Juneteenth takes on added importance. All Americans of goodwill join in the celebration. Now, another truth of life is that one cannot really understand the feelings and pain of the other if one does not walk in the other's shoes. It's arrogant and insensitive and racist to dismiss the feelings of other people. And the best way to understand the feelings of others is to speak with them, to learn from those living the experience what it's like. And so I'm especially pleased to be joined by a very special person, a rabbi, a woman, and a member who is black. Her name is Rabbi Sandra Lawson. She's associate chaplain for Jewish life at Elon University in North Carolina. Again, she's a rabbi, an activist, a musician. Very nice. And it's a pleasure to have her join us on JBS and Gam Yachad COVID-19. Sandra, thank you so much for making some time for us.
Mark, thank you. Thank you so much. If I can share what I shared earlier, is that I'm a huge fan. You were on the forefront of putting your services online, and as a young rabbinical student, learning, they were incredibly helpful.
That's very, very sweet of you. By the way, you told me you watched me when you were at rabbinical school and the Reconstructionist Rabbinical College, yes?
Yes, yes, that's true.
Very, very nice. It's nice. It was flattering for me to hear, and it's a joy for me to meet you. So, Sandra, I want you to speak to what you heard me say about why Juneteenth matters to anybody and should matter to anybody, and why it matters to the African-American community. Take 1 minute, just 1 minute. I want to understand who the heck you are. My understanding is you were not born Jewish. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So how did you end up first becoming a Jew, and then how did you become a rabbi?
The short version is that my friend, I often call him my Besheret, my like brother from another mother, is a rabbi. And, you know, we became friends, and as friendships grow, he invited me to his synagogue, and that's it. I fell in love with the community. I fell in love with, you know, the rest, the Shabbat, even though I didn't understand a word anybody was saying. And, you know, of course, all stories are way more complicated than that. But I'm Jewish today because a friend of mine introduced me to Judaism.
Well, I appreciate the thumbnail sketch there. Yeah. Okay, Sandra, talk to me about Juneteenth. By the way, does it surprise you or not that virtually every adult I talk to, and I say to them, do you know what Juneteenth is? None of them knew. Does that surprise you, or it doesn't surprise you?
It doesn't surprise me.
And most Americans just don't know, never heard of it. Tell me why it's important to you.
Well, I do want to start. I mean, it's important to me because it's part of storytelling. It's part of the narrative we tell, and sort of framing it in like the Passover Seder, for example, our story of slavery, our story of enslavement, that we are sort of commanded to tell the story as if we were present at that moment. And so by retelling that story, it reminds us of how, in theory, reminds us of what it's like to be a slave, and that we don't ever want anyone else to be enslaved. And narratives are important. And to finally start to tell the true stories of our history as Americans is really helpful. And I believe it's corrective. It will help to heal the racism that exists in our country by actually telling the stories of how they happened.
And I want to understand what you mean by the story. Are you telling, when you say the story isn't about Texas itself, is it?
Well, that's part of it. I mean, if you were educated in the United States, and depending on when you went to school, the story that we like to tell about slavery, is that slaves, were brought to this country. The first slaves were indentured servants, which actually wasn't true. And then Lincoln came along, Lincoln freed the slaves, and everybody was happy. That's sort of the story that we tell. And we don't tell the story that there were still enslaved people 2 years after Lincoln, signed the Emancipation Proclamation.
Do you have any idea why the Texas event is the one that is used to commemorate, the entire movement?
Yes, because it was the last stronghold. It was so Texas, so the Civil War ends. Texas is far away from the rest of the country. So it took Union soldiers a while to get to the state of Texas. That's my understanding of this narrative. And so Texas was the last state to hold enslaved people.
You mentioned, you made an analogy between Juneteenth and the experience of the African American community here and the Jewish celebration of Passover, where we, with the Haggadah, tell the story. Digression for one moment. Everybody makes, it's a joke that is meant sweetly, sort of like in empathy. Sandra, you are both African American and you're a Jew. It's like a double whammy. You do not have one slavery to deal with. You got two slaveries to deal with. And as a rabbi and as somebody who now feels Judaism, that Passover is not simply an important holiday. It may be the most important family holiday of the Jewish year. And
Absolutely.
there is ritual after ritual having to do with the Haggadah and what one eats at a Seder and what one says at a Seder, what one chants at a Seder, the songs that are sung at a Seder. Is there any ritual connected to Juneteenth?
Yeah, I mean, communities, especially if you live in an area that has a rich Black population. When I lived in Atlanta, there were Juneteenth celebrations that happened in community centers and local communities. And so just getting together to commemorate and to remember that we were slaves, that we were once enslaved, is incredibly important. Now, all these happen in predominantly Black communities, and unless you're a white person who has, a deep relationship with a Black person, you may not know that Black people are celebrating this. But yes, in the larger Black community, these are celebrations that happen. And there's, depending on the community that you're in, there might be dancing, there might be singing, storytelling, that kind of stuff. I mean, that's one of the things that I miss about living in Atlanta, is that I knew that I could go to a local community center, either in Decatur or Atlanta, and there would be some kind of celebration.
When you were a child, your family in some way celebrated Juneteenth?
No, actually, that's not true. I mean, my parents, my parents grew up in the Jim Crow South, the segregated South, and they were Black Pride, 70s, Afro, all that stuff, and instilled the values in me, but they were working, they worked hard, and so we never had the conversation of Juneteenth. I'm not even sure when I learned about Juneteenth. It was probably when I got to college, or probably just from hanging out with Black friends, but I don't remember when I learned it, and I don't exactly remember not knowing about it, if that makes any sense.
I understand. Sandra, if, you know, some white Jew said to you, explain to me why this should matter to me, what would you like the Jewish community to understand now about why Juneteenth should be important to us?
So one of the things that I appreciate about what you said at the beginning is that you've done your research. I'm not sure how long you've known about Juneteenth, but you do have a knowledge. And the way that I frame it as a Black female rabbi, the best way for me to explain it to the Jews that I serve is to sort of frame it in the Passover Seder. And I do that, or at least the Passover holiday. And I do that so that the larger white Jewish community can understand that this is important. So they can understand and remember that Jews are a multiracial, multicultural people. And you have Black people in your community, just like you have Latinx people in your community, just like you have Yemenites in your community. And the traditions that they bring to the Jewish community are incredibly valuable. And again, it also, I do believe it helps correct the narrative of, you know, which I said at the beginning, which is the narrative that we tell is that, you know, slaves were brought to this country, we had a civil war, Lincoln freed the slaves, everybody was happy. And that's it. I've had people tell me they didn't know anything about Bull Connor and dogs and hoses in the 60s. And so this helps if we start to tell the stories of all the people in this country, including Black people in this country, and people can see the rich history that they were just not given. My wife, for example, my wife is white, and often she's sometimes just pissed off that she didn't learn certain things in school. Because that's, we tell history in our schools from a particular lens, and that lens is a white lens. And Ashkenazi white Jews, or Jews who benefit from white privilege, have assimilated into that at a cost. And so telling our stories, all of our stories, through the lens of the people who they happen to, helps heal us.
Thank you so much, Sandra. The thoughts of Rabbi Sandra Lawson. I hope they've given you a better sense of the importance of Juneteenth and that you understand more about that holiday now and why it is significant as for all of them, as American Jews, why we should understand, take notice, and we should understand it is very similar to the Passover that we celebrate every year. Until the next time, I'm Mark Golub. Stay safe and be well, my friends, and Shabbat Shalom.